Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Hey, everybody, it's a God Talk Friday. So Brandon is going to put on his best suit. He's not going to use the bad words. And we're going to talk about the being, the everlasting being, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. But first, 5 seconds of silence brought to you by Smarticle. Okay, Brandon, happy God Talk to you and yours.
Thank you, Larry. You know, it's interesting. Last weekend, I was driving with my family through. We were coming back from a nephew's baseball game in Virginia. We were driving to Boone, North Carolina, which is pretty rural. And we were driving back and we saw this couple pull out. And it was like probably around 11:30. Clearly, they were headed to church. And it was an older couple. And she's in her, like, she's wearing a bonnet. She's fully dressed. And he's wearing a coat and tie. And I'm like, when's the last time you, like, dressed up for church?
Yeah, a long time. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I dressed up.
I feel like you would be called a Christian nerd at this particular point. You know what? People dress up at my in-laws' church out there in the God's area. So
I think that's a suburban thing or an old people thing. I think that was the thing that people used to do, their Sunday best, Sunday go to meeting clothes, sign of respect. Why do you suppose that people don't do that anymore?
Yeah, people don't wear suits to work anymore, dude. People don't wear ties.
Like, but they don't. What I'm saying is at my church, people are wearing shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops. No one cares.
Because your people going to hell.
Well, what about yours at the City Church San Francisco?
Very casual. No tank tops, though. Nobody wears a tank top.
Is that right? Would you wear a full, like, wife beater tee?
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, go in there and you're telling me your daughter, B, has never worn a tank top to church?
She probably has.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think the mores of the time have changed. Anyway, all right, let's get to this Mirabai Star and this article. It's really good.
Here's a smidge from our friends at the Center in Action and Contemplation. It's a post called A Sacred Conversation. A miraculous event unfolds when we throw the lead of our personal story into the transformative flames of creativity.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Our hardship is transmuted into something golden. With that gold, we heal ourselves and redeem the world. As with any spiritual practice, this creative alchemy requires a leap of faith. When we show up to make art, we need to first get still enough to hear what wants to be expressed through us. Then we need to step out of the way and let it. We must be willing to abide in a space of not knowing before we could settle into knowing. Such a space is sacred. It is liminal and numinous. It is frightening and enlivening. It demands no less than everything, and it gives back tenfold. So I think someone hears that, like my wife, very literal person, doesn't have a lot of creativity. But one of the things that's been best for her in life is when she painted. Someone convinced her she needed to paint.
Oh.
I just think that's great. Like, most people are like, oh, I'm not artistic. I don't have that. But you are. I believe that. Like, you just got to find what it is. You have to find your artistic endeavor. I would shape it as this. This is my artistic endeavor. This podcasting. It's my job, but it is also my artistic endeavor. I love this podcast. Here's why I love this podcast, man.
Oh, breaking news.
You bring something out in me that is, it's neither good nor bad.
Oh.
It's anger and it's joy. It's deep and it's fart jokes. There's something that we used to be in a men's group 20 years ago in our friend's little tiny room.
In the dentist office.
Yeah, dentist office. And it's that same feeling I get there when you were leading that group. I wanted to kick you right in the balls, but I also wanted to go deep. There's just something, you put me in a place, I'm like transformed into something else, and I really enjoy it. I love this discovery I get of doing this show with you. I can't really even put it into words, but you bring something out in me.
Dare I say that I'm your preacher, your teacher, your priest?
Because
am I bringing it out of you like that, Larry?
It's like a rainbow. There's spectrums of it, and I just think, God, I want to stab you with a hot knife, and I want to give you a hug at the same time.
I've often thought about the way people relate to me.
Yes.
And I think that it comes down to, in some ways, is that I am a deeply passionate person. I believe strongly in certain things. I also am a child of trauma, so I'm very defensive and my defense is the offense, right? I go immediately.
Best defense is good offense.
I'm an attacker, and it's just in my nature, and I try to mitigate it, but it's very challenging sometimes. You also are a guy that is very, you have a hard time being open and be, you're like to make jokes. When you feel uncomfortable, anyone that's listened to this show, we're 700 episodes in, anyone listens know that your answer to anything like that makes you sad or whatever is a fart joke, a good fart joke. If I was to tell people what your name, your screen name is right now, they would know what I was talking about. Just your personality is very much, you like to keep things light and airy and you don't want to take too serious.
No, but
that said, let me finish. That said is you are also one of the most intensely realistic and deep people I've ever met. But most people don't know that about you. People look at me and they're like, oh, they think they know exactly everything there is to know about me. And I think that's the flip side of that coin of what you said about you want to punch me, but then sometimes you want to go deep. Because at my core, I actually care about people. I truly do. I really want people to be their best. I want them to feel loved. I want them to feel embraced. And I think you're the same way, just kind of the flip side of the coin, you know, where I'm always intensely serious. You're always intensely not serious. And that's why I'm kind of wondering if that doesn't have something to do with it.
So one of the things that we do to start the podcast, which is funny because it's supposed to be audio, is we take 5 seconds of silence. And one of the things this post today talks about is that you have to be still first to be able to know what the art in you that is supposed to come out. So we had this idea to have a little bit of silence so that in theory, we quiet all the noise of everything that's going on so that there's some magic, the spirit, whatever comes to what we're going to say in the 13 minutes. So like we believe in it to our core on this show.
Right.
I believe it's the art, like God, spirit, whatever is part of the art of whatever it is you want to do. So I just wanted to say that like we believe in it so much in this podcast.
Yeah. And I think you hit it on the head. It's like why we love doing it. I had a hard time with her writing a little bit because she's so, you know, so much verbiage and golden thing. And I was like, wow, if you weren't like a fancy artist, you would probably struggle with that definition of art. I was thinking to myself, I consider myself a fairly verbal, intellectual guy. And yet I was like, wait, what is she trying to say? And when I distilled it down to this, it's that art, if you're a person that wants to create art of any kind, that can be visual, can be or whatever, writing, say you want to create a garden, an artistic garden in your backyard. In order to do that, you have to let your mind run free. And I think we talked about it on our last God Talk Friday. We talked about the idea of improvisation. She was one of the writers on that as well. This idea that in order to create this, we have to allow ourselves to just take chances. We've been doing this show now for we're at 700 episodes. We do a show every single day, but pretty much always. We've had a few best of, but for most part, we do it every day. We fight about everything. If people could get behind the scenes and listen to the two of us go at it, it is like two brothers battling it out. But there's something that we both agree on, which is that we want to create something that gives something good to the world. Whether we ever go anywhere with this show or not, whether anything ever happens, I always think to myself, someday my daughter and they're by your kids as well are going to have this literal treasure trove of conversations between you and myself about all sorts of things that if they want to, they can listen to you and go, oh, my dad was talking about blah. I cannot believe my dad talked about my mom that way. That would be you, obviously.
Oh.
It's funny. I talked to my wife recently. I was like, why don't you listen to our show? And she said, you know what? You and Larry should have me and Karen on to talk about why we don't listen to this show.
Well,
and
I know that answer.
No, I know you do. But I think I know the answer for her. I don't think it's as much with Corey, but I don't know exactly why she doesn't. I think we're not her target audience, but. My point is about the art thing is it is gold. It is when you find something, I listen to these episodes and I do the editing and every once in a while I'll go, man, that was a really freaking great episode. And that inspires me. That's the creation that I love.
And I think we have to say this to each other all the time. And so if you're starting art, it's not for anybody else but yourself. It doesn't matter if nobody sees it, if 5 billion people sees it, if it's with stillness and it's beautiful, beautiful, whatever you wanted to get out of yourself, then it's worth it. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our fans, our good friend of both of us, is a Shannon. Her name's Shannon. Shout out to Shannon. Shannon F! Won't give any last names. I don't want to throw anybody. But she is an artist. But, you know, it's interesting. She's a musician. And I really love her music. But what I think her true art is her ability to almost freestyle think. Like, she has this incredible ability to look at things and go, what about this? What about that? She has no enemy of thought in terms of, she will throw out 1,000 ideas to synthesize it down to one idea. And that was that idea that we talked about a long time ago about design thinking, this idea that it's sort of improvisational thinking. You never say, but that won't work. You simply say, and also. And I think if that's part of the creation, you and I have looked at 1,000,000 different ways to deliver information on this show. And we always kind of come back around to, well, we tried it. It's okay. It didn't work. We'll try something else next time. I think that's the core of creation.
Well, yeah, I think the core of creation is what they were getting to is, do you know yourself? Like, it only really works if you're being authentic. I mean, you might get rich or whatever. It happens all the time with, like, actors. Like, they start doing these big blockbuster movies and they're like, I sold my soul to make a lot of money. But if you're doing something authentic, an art that is authentic to who you are, you take the time to know who you are and what you want to say, and then you say it, that's the gold. If you're doing it for any other reason other than to express who you truly are, you won't get art. You'll get some fabricated baloney.
Yeah, it's funny about that too, because I think if you have to, and I don't mean this in like that weird way that some people get when they're artsy and they like, oh, let me tell you how smart I am. Yeah. Look at my art. I mean, people that create something and then they kind of refuse to explain it. I think Andre 3000 is one of those people. You just did an obit on the guy, the lead guitar player for the Allman Brothers.
Oh,
and about, like, if you listen to the guitar stylings of that band, and some people don't like the Allman Brothers, whatever. But when you listen to Ramblin' Man and you listen to the guitar of that, I don't think he could explain that song. I just truly don't think he could explain it. But anyone that loves music can at least appreciate the art that went into creating that song. So, and I think about lots of different bands that I like. And I know you and I have similar tastes, not always the same in terms of music. I know my friend Shannon loves music, but we talk about her kids, what her kids are getting into and what I'm trying to expose my daughter to as far as music. There are certain things that I really love. You know that I love The Clash. It's my all-time favorite band. I hope that my daughter learns to love The Clash. But if she doesn't, I hope that she finds something else that inspires her the way it's inspired me. And I think that's the point of what Mirabite Star is trying to say, is that we have to allow ourselves to be free in order to create. But I think also to appreciate creation, we have to allow ourselves to be free.
This is the last thing I will say about art, is that it has to be done regularly. Like, you can't just paint once. Like, for instance, with us, you know, we do the show every day. So it's evolving because we let it evolve because we do it all the time. I do, like, the social media. I do these, like, 60-second clips explaining what we do every day. And it has become, you just see, if you do something every single day, you see how it changes. You get confident in it. It really, you can't do art every once in a while for yourself. And whatever that is, gardening to painting, whatever. You got to do it regularly.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I produce a number of other podcasts now, and it's been sort of the little business that I've created, and I love doing it. But it's really interesting because, for the most part, I'm working with people that are not professionals, and you are a professional.
Yeah.
And when I started with you, I hate to give you credit on this, but I really do feel like credit needs to be given, is that you've taught me how one would actually, you're not good at teaching. You're just kind of a dick about it. You just kind of yell at people. I'm sure your kids don't. But what you've done is, you said, this is what you need to do. And part of that is, I listen back to our old shows and I'm like, man, I have come a long way as a quote unquote a broadcaster, because we are broadcasting. We're doing something. Now, we can edit. We're not doing it live necessarily. My point to that is simply, you've forced me to get better simply because we do it every day. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, wow. Should we hug it out now?
I think we should do a virtual
kiss on the lips.
See what I mean? You guys see there, case in point, we started the show by saying Larry can't be serious. And when it gets serious, and when he should say, yeah, it's touching, I really appreciate it, he says, kiss on the lips. That's his way of answering, because he can't let it go. Anyway, Larry, any last words?
Brandon, you're the light to my, you're the oil to my gas. I don't know.
You're the wind beneath my wings, Larry. You're the wind beneath my wings.
It's not that. It's definitely not that. It's not
that. All right. All right. Thank you for teaching me, Larry.